welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you can get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins, of course, from Calvary Baptist Church, welcoming you. And as always, we have Pastor Robbins.
Hello.
And then my assistant, Levi.
Hello.
So far, throughout our podcast, we've talked about understanding vanity, understanding what Solomon understood about it, looking at how to handle your family, how to safeguard against trouble in your family, looking at how to manage your time. We've talked about different things and just kind of understanding how to keep faith during prayer.
Quite a broad variety. We've covered
a lot of topics so far. And so anyway, today we want to talk about one of the more controversial topics in today's society, especially Christian society, worship. So far, Pastor, why don't you go ahead and tell us, what is not God's explanation for worship? So do you think there's confusion about what worship is in the Christian world today?
Yeah, I think there is. Matter of fact, you know, Jesus, whenever he was on the mountain there, and he come to a woman at the well, as we know in John 4, mm-hmm. and she sees him, and of course he goes up, and you know the story. He tells her to give her the drink, and or give him the drink, and she of course then says, he then asks her to give him to drink, and she of course is going to, but then he says, you know, if you'd have known who I am, basically, mm-hmm. you would have asked me immediately for this water that, you know, that's forever, this that you live forever.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, she immediately begins to perceive that he's a prophet, and she says, and you can see her contention, because she has a different idea of worship than what the idea that Jesus is presenting. Right. Or maybe that Jesus represents, okay? Mm-hmm. And so whenever she immediately starts to kind of contend with him, and you can see the kind of the response to that. She says, well, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And that's there's a reason for that, and we'll come to that here in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus then responded. He said, woman, he says, believe me, he says, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. He says this, and this is, I think, really what would sum up today's society. He says, you worship, you know not what. He says, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And so he says, listen, he says, you're worshiping what you think is God. He said, but in reality, though, it's not. He said, you don't know what you're worshiping. You think it's this and that. And he tells her, he said, listen, I'm not here to rebuke you or reprimand you over it. I'm here really simply to correct you. And he tells her, he said, listen, the day's coming where you're going to be able to worship every place, not just Jerusalem. And because at that time period, in Jerusalem is where the worshiping would really take place.
Sure. Anyway, so let me ask you this. Obviously, there's a definition of worship in the Old Testament. Is that different from today? What was the expectation in the Old Testament?
Well, in the Old Testament, they would gather at the tabernacle or the temple, wherever it was they were at, and they were supposed to in the tabernacle. You have three parts. Okay, you have the outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And in the outer court, of course, the people gather. In the inner court is where the priest would do his daily duties, such as putting on showbread or filling the lamp for the oil and the incense and that kind of thing. And then, of course, the Holy of Holies, the high priest would go in there once a year, and he would offer up a sacrifice or offer up the blood of a sacrifice of a lamb. And
yeah.
And so then the Spirit of God would come down through the gate of the out of heaven. And the scripture called it Shekinah glory, would come down out of heaven, go through the front gate, which was the only way into the tabernacle or into the temple, go through the outer court, into the inner court, all the way into the Holy of Holies, and then dwell there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody could see the shining, the brightness of the Holy Spirit present. And they knew that God was real, and they knew God was alive, and they would worship God there. And you had to be present in Jerusalem to do so, because that's where the temple was at. And the tabernacle, of course, was, you know, in a number of different places.
Yeah.
Gibeon, and of course, Ramah, and then eventually then it goes to Jerusalem, and mm-hmm. the temple's built, but that's how it worked, and so they would worship, and so that's why this woman says, well, you said to Jesus, she says, you say that you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem, Because why? That's where the presence of God was. That's where the Spirit of God was.
Yeah.
And so that's how it went in the Old Testament. However, of course, it changes in the New Testament, and which is different. And yeah.
Were there a whole lot of difference for expectations in the New Testament compared to the Old Testament?
Well, the expectation is still the same. We're still supposed to worship God. Yeah. However, though, the way that it worked in the New Testament was this, is we no longer, and Jesus says, he said, listen, he said, the hour cometh here. He tells a woman, he says, you know, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. What he's saying is going to be all around.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, people are going to be able to worship me, whether they're in Jerusalem or whether in this mountain or whatever.
He says
they're
going to be able to worship. Because the power of God's in you.
Right, and that's exactly it. The Shekinah glory, the Spirit of God, comes down out of heaven whenever you put your faith and trust in Christ. And so the Spirit of God comes down out of heaven,
yeah.
And he comes in. Of course, man is the new, remember Paul tells him, he says, listen, he says, know you not that you're the temple of God, the living God. And man is made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The tabernacle, the temple, was made up of three parts. And so where the Spirit of God dwelt, the Shekinah glory dwelt in the Holy of Holies, that's your spirit. That's mm-hmm. where God dwells. And, of course, then there's the inner court, which is where your mind, will, and emotions are at today. It'd be your soul, and then, of course, the outer court, your body.
Okay.
And so we're to worship God now because we're the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the Spirit of God shines through us, and so we can worship wherever. However, that doesn't mean that you don't go to church, because the Bible commands you not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Yeah.
And but rather, you know, in whenever you have people join together that are worshiping God, and you know, you have all these different living temples, then it just becomes an amazing thing. And it's more than just worship in church, of course. It's hearing from God and those kinds of things. And so that's what Jesus tells her. He said, listen, he says in verse 24 of John 4, he says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no worship if it's outside of the Spirit. You have mm-hmm. to be in the Spirit. You have to be a born-again believer, of course, and where the Spirit of God dwells inside of you.
Yeah.
And then from there, now you have to get yourself in tune with the Spirit of God, and then you can worship Him. And mm-hmm. And so that's really what worship is it's where you come before God and you're able to just stand in His presence and glorify Him and praise Him and then obey Him and hear His voice. You know, worship just isn't you going, oh, you know, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's your heart magnifying God and lifting Him up. It's your heart exalting Him. It's your heart submitting to Him. It's your heart saying, you're my God and I'll do anything you want. I'll serve you all my days. And so
a lot of people say worship is just like, a lot of people, whenever you say the word worship, they think music, they think singing and stuff like that. It's not just that.
Yeah, worship is the position of the heart. And of course, you know, you can get in the praise and
sure.
People can praise God, but only, you know, with their mouth, but not mean it with their heart. However, though, you can't worship God unless you really are, you know, you can't lie about that.
Sure.
You can tell people you're worshiping God, but you're not, you know, or you may not be. And so there has to be a true, honest reverence in your heart, a true surrender in your heart, a true, you know, basically standing in awe of Almighty God. And the Bible says that whenever that happens, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. And so with that in mind, then it won't be long you're going to start praising Him. And because okay. you sense His presence. And what it is His Spirit is shining or glowing like it did in the tabernacle. It's shining or glowing in your tabernacle, your temple, and from your
exactly,
spirit.
Yeah.
And now your mind, your will, and your emotions are being affected by it. And when that happens, your body will be affected by your mind, will, and emotions. And so
you think people who struggle a lot with like depression or struggle with, you know, just like have a bad attitude in life, do you think that being more praising would be helpful to them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember one time I read, every morning start your day off by looking how great or how big God is. And absolutely. I think it's important that you learn some of these disciplines to get up and, you know, say, you know what, I'm not going to let these negative emotions affect me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let them dictate how I'm going to live. I'm going to put these things in subjection to my spirit, because your spirit is one with God, and it's where God's dwelling.
Yeah.
And so now whenever that happens, you can be in charge. You're in charge of these things. You're not going to let these things affect you. and therefore now you can worship God, and it'll help people. And mm-hmm. of course, but there's a reason why. Of course, depression's a whole other subject, but there's a reason why people are depressed most often. And we want to say, well, it's mental illness and that kind of thing, but really it's a spiritual problem in most cases.
Yeah.
Where people are dealing with unresolved conflicts that they can't seem to, or they haven't seemed to, or won't seem to resolve. And
yeah.
And so once they begin to find victory over those things, then the worship will flow a lot more freely.
Yeah. Isn't it a good tool, worship is, for before you start praying, that it brings you to, like, the presence of God, so you can
have absolutely. Matter of fact, you know, that's how the prayer starts off. Yeah. You know, then it's the Lord's Prayer is, we call it the Lord's Prayer in society today, but really you said to pray in this manner. It's not something that, you know, walk around going, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and so forth. Really what it is this is he's saying, pray in this manner, and what you do is you stop and you say, all right, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Now, my God is in heaven. He's holy, he's amazing, he's exalted, and then you're worshiping, and that's how you begin your prayers, through worship. And once you begin to worship God, now you can pray mightily and powerfully, and so that's really good.
Okay. So here real quick, I want to ask you a question. I know that kind of springing this on you here, we haven't much time to really go over this, but in the Bible, it's referenced, I actually was reading a little bit about this week, in Exodus it's listed a couple times in the Song of Solomon, not Song of Solomon, it's listed by Solomon in Proverbs, it's listed in Psalms, it's listed in Isaiah, and a couple other places in the Old Testament, where the Bible says that people proclaim God as their strength and their song. So do you think that praise and worship isn't just you allowing it to happen? Do you think God is readily, constantly asking you to open up and let him influence you and help you praise him?
Well, yeah, I mean, really it isn't. It's letting it happen, you know, I mean, that's really kind of what you're asking. And
so it's not like, it's not just a, this is what I want to do, as much as it's going, God, please help me, and God will help you?
It's choosing to join in when the Spirit of God's leading you to worship, you know.
Okay.
I liken this, I heard a guy use this as an illustration. He said, I've been to a football game, I've been to, you know, baseball games, soccer games, things of that nature, man. I guess. And anyway, and he said, you sit in the stands, and he said, all of a sudden, everybody decides to do the wave, of course. And so if you're familiar with athletics, or familiar with professional sports, you get some, you know, one side of the stadium, a bunch of people stand up and flash their hands in the air, and they sit down, and then the next section does it, and the next section does it, and so forth, all the way around the stadium to a place where eventually the whole stadium kind of lifted up their arms and set it back down, kind of like a domino effect, and we call it the wave. And so what he's saying is this, is the Spirit of God begins to lead you to worship, and you're sitting there in the stands, okay, and it comes time for your section to stand up and lift up their arms and then sit back down. You make the conscious choice whether you're going to be a part of it or not. Worship's going to take place. You're just making the choice of whether or not, or the wave's going to take place. You're just making the choice whether or not you're going to be a part of it. And it's the same way with worship. The Spirit of God is going to lead you to worship. He's going to worship God. He's going to magnify the Lord Jesus. He's going to worship. However, though, you got to make a choice whether or not you're going to take part in that. And it should be on a regular basis, really every day, where God's people worship the Lord, where they take part in it. And so I think that's important to know.
Okay. So let me ask you this too, as far as that verse, strength and song, do you think that there's a special strength that's granted whenever you're willing to praise the Lord?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the Bible talks about how God inhabits the praises of his people. I think there's a certain strength you get when you begin to worship God. I mean, I find that myself, as I begin to worship the Lord, I find a kind of an inner strength. So, yes, absolutely, I believe that.
Do you think that praising specific facets of the Lord, like different names of God, or praising specifically Jesus or the Holy Spirit, has different effects?
Well, I think the Bible talks about in the Old Testament how that, you know, the Lord would be known as, maybe say, Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Shalom, which is the Lord of peace, and or provides peace, and so forth. So, yeah, I think it's good to say, you know, Lord, you're the Jehovah Jireh. you're the one who provides, you know, all things for me, or you're the one, you're Jehovah Shalom, you're the one who gives peace, and you're the Prince of Peace, and so, Lord, you know, I could show you some peace right now, or mm-hmm. I'm in great need, and so, yeah, I think so. I think it's good. You know, for example, if one of my children comes up to me and says, Dad, I've got a problem, and I say, well, what's your problem? Well, I need your help, and what do you need my help with? And they go, well, I just have a problem. Okay, well, what's the problem? Well, I need your help, and now we're in a circle here. But if they say, Dad, I need your help because I have a problem with my car, well, then, you know, Dad, the mechanic can help out. And if they say, Dad, I have a problem because I don't know what to do at work, mm-hmm. well, then, Dad, the counselor can step in. Or they say, Dad, you know, I had a problem understanding the scripture, then, Dad, the teacher can step in, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so so it's good to appeal to those sides. But, however, you don't have to. I mean, it's not like, you know, kids have to come to me and say, Dad, the teacher, I need to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, Dad, I need your help, and I'm there. And you can go to God and say, God, I need you, and he's there, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's good to recognize those things, because it's not so much that it moves God any closer or any faster, but it strengthens your faith, because mm-hmm. it reminds you, oh, my Father can take care of this.
Yeah.
He's the Jehovah Jireh, or he'll give me peace. He's Jehovah Shalom.
That's true. So when you're worshiping, what's a good guideline to stick by?
You really want to kind of get alone with the Lord initially, for private worship, and it's always good to find things that will encourage your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Things that start off with maybe scripture reading, or I like to sometimes play it on my phone. I like Alexander Skirby and his old voice, and so I'll listen to scripture. Sometimes if I find that I'm under a lot of attack, I'll maybe listen to some good preaching or some good godly music to help drive away the evil spirits that are kind of plaguing me, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do things where I can kind of get into the spirit, and then I begin to worship God. Once I begin to worship him, now I feel like I've kind of connected to God, and now I can pray. Now I can serve the Lord and that kind of thing. If I'm worshiping with somebody else, then I tend to draw off their strength. They tend to draw off my mm-hmm. strength, and we kind of build each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if it's in a group, the same way.
So do you think that there's a struggle for balance? How do you stay balanced in this?
The Bible says to worship him in spirit and truth, and so it's important that you stay balanced, here's what's happening today is there are groups today that they get caught up in emotions, and they get caught up in running by emotion, saying that's spirit. Well, it's not the spirit of God. They're just running as like this woman here. They really know not what they do. They know not what they worship, that kind of thing. They just let loose and let themselves out of control. And the Bible says, let all things be done decently in order. God's not a spirit of out of control. He's a spirit of control. So you get those, and then you get groups that are afraid of that, and so they don't think that you should even worship at all. I mean, you hear some of these old guys or some of these old timers and stuff that, well, you don't even really worship in the New Testament. Well, that's not true either, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I think sometimes people are afraid to let go of a shout or raise a hand in church because they're fearful of they don't want to be looking like they're going crazy or something. But at the same time, then you get some who, down where I come from, it's nothing for those guys to tear out and run a lap around the church auditorium shouting glory, and people think that's normal. Really what it is you just want to stay in balance. The Bible says worship in spirit and truth, and you want to stay in balance, and I think it's important to balance yourself according to the scripture. And, you know, how is Jesus, you know, how does he worship when he worships, and observe those things and study those things. Study how Paul worships, study how, you know, the different apostles worshiped, and even David, you know, you see David get out of control, and of course it causes problems. His wife, he shows his nakedness, and his wife, of course, gets bitter with him, and then God closes her womb, and so you see these things start to get out of control, and so it's just important to try to just use the scripture as a guideline to stay balanced.
Okay. See, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so go close it down here. I just want to say thank you to anybody who tuned in to listen today. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I know that this journey has really been a blessing to me, and it's just a blast to be able to sit down and serve the Lord in this facet. And if you have any questions, or if you want to share a testimony, or if you just need to get in contact with us, have something to discuss, or have a need, feel free to contact us. My Twitter handle, my personal Twitter handle, is @TylerRobbins. It's TylerRobbins. Otherwise, you can call us. Our phone number is 641-228-5362. You can get hold of us through our church website, or you can email us directly. Our email is fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com. Or if you just want to write us, you can do that as well. Our street address is 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. Once again, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Just remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.